Make more birdies.
A bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you will fall out of bounds.
Welcome to Birdies and Bourbon. Sit down and have a sip.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. We're excited to be sampling some juice that we are some whiskey that that Dan and I can't yet get in Georgia or North Carolina, but we made it work out. So we're going to get to sample. Today, Dan and I are drinking the Magnolia Bottled and Bond Whiskey, and we'll get into what it is and mash bill and all that stuff. But first,
cheers.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, just a little taste to get us going.
Big sip.
So I'm excited. You know, I saw you guys I saw some stuff on social media, some friends of the show that, you know, they were kind of sharing some pictures and some tasting notes on bottles. Obviously it's, and we'll let you give the story in a second, but I couldn't get my hands on it. And, you know, we reached out and you guys were, you know, we were able to coordinate a time to get on the show, share a taste with you. And, many years of history behind this thing. And that's kind of where, Ed and Megan, we want to get from you. Like, why did you wind up down reviving a brand, going down this whiskey road? And, we've got what we have in the glass now.
Well, as the politicians say, that's a great question. Then they have to think of the answer. Long story short, about a year and a half years ago, I finished 50 years in the real estate development business and retired.
Oh, wow.
And I like to work. And so after about a year, I said, you know, I'm going to shoot myself. I got to find something to do. And so I was thinking of different things that I could do since I closed my office and, you know, don't build buildings anymore, and decided that there might be an opportunity in the whiskey business. So I know the business as a consumer. I don't have the knowledge that you and probably most of your viewers do, but I've been drinking since I was 16. So, you know, I'm sort of figured it out. I'm Irish. So, you know, we figure that stuff out. So at that time I looked at investing in whiskey barrels. There's several funds that raise money to do that. And I ran the numbers and stuff, and I just couldn't get excited about it. Then after that, and spending a good amount of time visiting the distilleries in Kentucky and looking at the local product in Central Ohio, I said, well, maybe I should buy a distillery. And I looked around at a couple opportunities and then came to the conclusion that, well, I really didn't want to invest multiple millions of dollars for a broken down distillery. And at the same time, I found this story about Samuel Pike, who started Magnolia's whiskey in Cincinnati in 1849. And the more I studied it, and you have to keep in mind that there's not a lot of books or articles about whiskey in 1849.
Sure.
But I did get enough to get me excited. And the opportunity I saw was, okay, Pike was a rectifier. He bought his product from Kentucky, brought it across the Ohio River to Cincinnati, blended it, mixed it, did whatever, and then put it on riverboats and sent it down as far as New Orleans and to Europe. And he was extremely successful doing that. And I had never heard the term rectifier, but that's what Pike was. And it sounded like a real estate developer term to me. I said, I can do this. So I researched it some more. And I found out that the S.N. Pike's Magnolia brand, which was sold by Pike to somebody else who sold it to Fleischmann's Margarine, which was based in Cincinnati, had gone, the trademark pre-prohibition had been disbanded. And the more I looked at it, I said, there really is an opportunity here, and came to the conclusion that if I can get the trademark, I want to put my efforts into being a rectifier, searching out and finding the best whiskeys and bourbons that I could, and being totally transparent that I'm either sourcing them or I'm finding them or acquiring them, and then finishing them here in Central Ohio. So it took me 4 months, but I got the trademark. And once I did that, I said to my daughter, Megan, I said, we're in business. Let's just figure the rest of this out. And a lot of
Ed, you say that like the easy part's over.
Well, now it's marketing, you know, and I'm a marketing guy. And sure. Megan, you know, has always spent a lot of time in fashion marketing. So we're a pretty good team there. And from my standpoint, after looking at, and the guys are really good, sincere, hardworking guys in the Central Ohio market. And there's about 5 distilleries, but their stuff is too young. They make it, and it's a year or 2 years old. And as we all know, it gets better with age.
Right.
And I said,
we don't know how much time he's got left, you know? He's not getting any younger.
Oh, no. We've already gone there. I'm just glad somebody else did it this time instead of me. Yeah.
Megan's exactly right, because my friends or people in the trade would say, well, why'd you start a distillery? And, you know, and I said, well, that's exactly right. I might not have 10 years. You know, I'm a senior citizen, retired, trying to keep busy and have some fun. So I did feel that I could acquire kegs. And I acquired the first batch of 44 barrels from a fine firm in southern Indiana who will go unnamed. But most of us know who that is.
We'll know who they are. Which once again, I'm just transparency, and you said it earlier, but I said at the beginning of the show, you know, thanks for your transparency and what's in the bottle, and what we're getting. Again, I think it's really a benefit, and you know, if you think about where bourbon was and whiskey was, you know, in the past, 20 years, and where it's come to today, I think it's very beneficial to continue, you know, what it's grown to. It's allowing, one, us to have conversations like this. Two, it's allowing you to not have to be, bored off your ass and figuring out what are you going to do with your retirement, right? I mean, it's kind of put you in a good position where you can go and share a little bit of history. You can share some good whiskey and obviously helping the community in Cincinnati or Central Ohio area out. So I personally say thanks for it's a bottle and bond that we're, you know, that Dan and I are sampling tonight. So I'm an age statement. Is obvious, but just the transparency of what we're getting, what we're having, I think it only helps to educate us and make us smarter consumers. I mean, by the time when the bottle starts to go down, I don't know that I get smarter, but at least tomorrow, right? I know what I had, I know what I liked, and it allows us to to continue that search of how do I not drink more, but experience more and different different whiskeys, which again is kind of why we were excited to have you on and say, hey, what are you all doing? You're sourcing. You've resurrected a label that would have otherwise been, on the shelf or maybe even forgotten potentially. Right. And I think it's a really, really a treat. So, yeah.
So the rest of the Pike story, which I think is interesting, is he made a whole lot of money in the late 1800s. And he was one of Cincinnati's most prominent citizens. He would walk from his home to his warehousing business in tails and a high silk hat. So you just picture that era, and he sold so much of this stuff that he was one of the important citizens of Cincinnati. And he loved the opera. Mm-hmm. And he heard Jenny Lynn, the opera singer, who I know you guys know all about.
Sure.
Well, that's the second half of the show. Are you kidding me?
Right. And he just fell in love with it. And he had obviously more money than brains, which is a good thing, I think. So he built Cincinnati's first opera house. Mm-hmm. And it was 7 stories high. You just picture the old-fashioned opera houses around the country or the world. And she came to perform. And then it burnt down. and he had so much money, he built it again. You know, and there was no insurance in those times. And it just shows you what a rectifier could do if he got the product the right way, which leads back to, I'm proud of the word sourcing. I want to find the best stuff. And the fun is going places. Tomorrow I'm off for 3 days in Kentucky visiting distilleries, mm-hmm. just to look and find, see what's available.
Research.
Right. Now you're just bragging.
Right.
So that's Pike's story. And once we got the trademark, Megan and I, you know, talked about the other marketing things. And when she mentioned Instagram, I had to have that explained to me what that is. But now she's taking care of it. And I think that's cool. But when you look at our bottle, I found a bottle of the original Magnolia on eBay. They bought it for $30 or something.
Wow.
And it was a 1 liter bottle.
This empty, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, after 170 years.
Yeah, right.
This poster behind us is actually the reverse side of an order form for Pike.
And I'll show you guys it closer. It's pretty cool.
Hmm. Oh yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
What's really neat about it is that you could buy 4 full quarts for $4.
Don't offer Cal those prices. Don't offer him those prices.
But when you look at the poster, if you look at the bottle, I searched high and low, and we found a very similar bottle, same neck, same dimensions, but you know it's a 750 milliliter, not a full liter, and so we're buying our bottles in Pennsylvania. Our labels are made by a company called Wright Graphics in Virginia. Our corks from, I'm not sure where, and we're getting bits and pieces from different places to source it. Oh, and the most important thing I think is, and we'll talk about this when we start to drink it, is that from the barrels, I need to proof them down from 119 proof. Down to 100 for the bottle and bond, and I'm using a distiller's facility in Central Ohio to do the proofing, the filtering, the labeling, the bottling, and the shipping it to the state for me.
Right.
So we're putting our effort and finances into product and marketing, I never want to own a distillery, so we're going to do it this way, come hell or high water, right or wrong. But one important thing is that what we do differently than a lot of companies that start by sourcing their product and then eventually become distillers is I bring in from Kentucky spring water. I have it shipped in, so when I'm proofing down, I'm not using the local water.
Very cool.
And that makes a difference in the taste. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely convinced of it. So and we've been on a fast track because I'm a real estate guy. That's what we do. Everybody tells me, well, things move slower in the bourbon business. You know, oh yeah, that's fine.
Well, if you think about your 50 year, you know, career was the exact opposite of, well, I shouldn't say that, but it does kind of translate to why you wouldn't open a distillery putting down your own liquid, because it's your point. That's exactly the opposite of what you've trained your whole life to do. Right. I mean, it's like,
that's right.
Build it, get it erected and get it, get somebody occupying it.
Well, that's right. And whether it's use the term rectifier or conductor or developer, I'm just bringing all the product and sources together.
Sure.
And when I was building buildings, I didn't use a saw or hammer, you know, right. I hired somebody.
Yeah.
I brought the financing stuff, but that's another story. So I'm using a local company to a distiller to finish the product for me. And it's good for him because he's got capacity, and it's good for me because I can buy what I want. And I had to buy some equipment, and that's fine. but I can get it finished the way I want because I know what tastes good.
Sure.
And so a distiller will have a lot more knowledge than I ever will. But as the educated consumer, I know what I like.
Mm-hmm.
So we started marketing in 10 retail outlets on January 2nd. And the state, this is a state-controlled liquor environment here.
Yep.
They said, we need to see how you do for 90 days and we'll give you more stores. And we've exceeded our expectations and hopefully the state's. And so hopefully we'll be able to double and triple that and then get around the rest of the state. We have one store in Cincinnati. I want to expand there dramatically. And then once we cover the state, then I want to figure out how to go interstate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that'll be interesting.
Very cool.
We have two products right now. One is the Bottle and Bond whiskey. And that was Magnolia's flagship product back in 1849. And then we have a high wheat, a 45% wheat bourbon. And that's my personal favorite because I love bourbon. And it's a 94 proof. And we're getting just high marks. People are enjoying it. Gotta find more people to sell it to, of course, but and then our third product, which we'll probably bring out in August or September, will be a barrel proof unfiltered.
Nice.
High proof bourbon.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool.
And our whiskey, let's see, I would compare it to some degree to Bullets high rye. Our whiskey is 95% rye.
Right.
And our bourbon, I would compare, what I think is better, to, it's similar. Let me say that because I like Redemption's high wheat. I think it's a good product. I like it. And I'd say that's quite similar.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So the Bottle and Bond whiskey is, I'm getting like a, kind of the, I do get a lot of rye on the nose, not anything off-putting. I'm getting more kind of almost like a gingerbread, and it's different. You know, who knows what we've all had today and what roads we've gone down, right? And I'll taste it tomorrow and something completely different will come up. But I am kind of getting some if a spicy gingerbread kind of thing made sense.
Yeah, on the my notes to myself are a sort of a baking spice with some floral notes and some vanilla. That's what I'm getting on the nose, and on the palate, a little bit of fruit, some caramel, and some citrus, you know, and then finishing pretty smooth with maybe a little bit of clove, and that's not me saying that. That's one of my close friends drinking with me saying that.
Yeah. No, I can definitely pick that clove up and I missed it. But I couldn't quite place it, but it is, I'm getting that cinnamon kind of big red gum. But then it hit something else kind of followed off in that finish or followed mm-hmm. up in the finish. And it was absolutely clove coming in there. I think that's why when I revisit this kind of on the nose, I'm getting that kind of gingerbready kind of, incorporation in there. So
with the cinnamon on the back though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how's it hit you, Cal? Does it hit you in the front first? Where's it hitting at you?
Tip of the tongue for me. So I'm getting kind of that fruit forward citrus,
yep.
Getting some cherry kind mm-hmm. of vanilla stuff on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good finish though.
Yeah, I think it's a great whiskey. I'll tell you this, if you were, and I am picking up, Ed, the vanilla kind of mm-hmm. note you were talking about. If I were introducing, if someone said, hey, I love bourbon, even a wheater, and they said, but I want to try some rye. I want to maybe kind of start to venture into the rye field.
Yeah.
I think this is an avenue all day long to start to introduce people to, where, you know, when you start going to, you know, high rye. So we're 95% in this one, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, it, you know, and it, it's, you know, you could compare this one to, even next to Redemption, I would say this drinks a lot easier. So again, to that point of, you know, kind of a, I would say it's, I wouldn't call it introductory. I mean, I feel like it's pretty complex and, you know, through the mouthfeel. But you know, if you're, if you had that 118, right, kind of at barrel strength, you're like, yeah, that was a little too much for me. This definitely puts you in a good spot to where you've got a daily sipper for sure.
I agree. I think you're right on, spot on with it in that it's not overpowering. You know, you're not doing a Stag Junior at 126 and jumping right in there.
Getting some mint on the nose as I've kind of let this sit and open up. I think when I first poured it, I wasn't getting that mint, but now I'm kind of starting to get that mint out of this thing. So yeah. And you went with the whiskey, the rye bottled in bond, because that was the flagship brand.
Absolutely.
SN Spikes to begin with, right? Right. Okay, gotcha. Right.
That's where I wanted to start, and then added the bourbon, and then want to do the barrel proof. But I'm gonna stick in the brown liquids.
Yeah. Well, no reason not to, and you know, I mean, the path that you're following. I mean, you know, awesome story. You know, from the heritage and you know, kind of you know, local, if you will. But yeah, that's tasty.
It is very tasty.
We really appreciate the opportunity to, you know, meet some new friends in the business and, you know, get your thoughts on the product and advice and counsel. You know, once again, I'm only a consumer.
Well, we're not experts. We just act like them. So, we really don't even act like them. We just drink a lot. So, you know, I think that's
you're doing a great job at that.
The most important thing is if you don't drink a lot, then I don't know how you know what you really like.
Right.
You know, it's, I mean, because, you know, I grew up in East Tennessee, right? And you can imagine what we were drinking up in the hills, right? It was either very clear off of a still, or it was, you know, it was filtered through a process. So, you know, those were the two choices. And it's like, you know, hell, there's a whole world out here of things, you know, after, you know, kind of growing up and moving out. Once I stopped having to take it off the liquor cabinet, to your point, at 16, and I could actually go buy my own, then you know, you kind of get to make some of your own decisions and choices. And I think that's one of the most fun things is being able to try new stuff. And again, when I saw it, it's like one thing is, and I don't know if you're experiencing this or not, but the fact that you can only get it in the state of Ohio is, you know, it's like, I don't know. I know that's not a marketing, that's not a marketing plan at the moment. That ain't a bad marketing plan at the moment. Just saying.
Well, our plan, absolutely being candid, is once we cover the state and not oversaturate it. You know, this is doesn't have to be as large as a lot of the brands. Then we want to figure out how to do direct to consumer out of state.
Oh,
the Magnolia name is, even though it's from Cincinnati, well, Cincinnati start moving south. It's very popular in the Carolinas. It's the state flower in Mississippi.
I was getting ready to say, I knew it was a southern state, and this is not getting into a southern thing, but I'm like, I know it's not Ohio. So right. So do you know why Magnolia?
I have no idea, and I can't reach Mr. Pike anymore.
All right, Megan, we got homework to do.
I'll tell you a little information.
When I saw the word Magnolia, you know, just the warmth of the word, I gotta be just honest for a second. No, all the
just
time.
Just for a second, though.
No, it. Totally. Through our conversation. I thought that I might get a big objection from the lawyers of Magnolia Magazine, those good old folks in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but this is SN Pike's Magnolia. That's the trademark.
There you go. Yep.
Gotcha.
And, and we don't do magazines and we don't do furniture.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm already thinking. I'm thinking about a barrel pick for around first quarter of 2022 for a particular golf tournament that may be in the middle of Georgia. And I'll stop there because we don't
make sure you let me know. We love to sponsor a lot of different things. Always have, always will.
Yeah.
Nate was telling me, she said, it's birdies and bourbon. And she said, I think it's bird dogs, you know, hunting dogs, birdies, you know? And I said, oh, well, I used to have an English setter and hunt quail all the time.
Oh,
with.
Oh gosh. You know?
And then went to your webpage and saw that, no, it's the other birdies.
No, no. The reason I say, oh my gosh, is you're going to get Cal on this tangent. Because 3 hours of bird dog talk.
Because now we're going to talk about nothing but bird dogs. So for, I don't know how long he was alive, probably 18 years. Yeah. So I had a Boykin Spaniel. Like I mentioned, I grew up in East Tennessee. Well, there wasn't a lot to do up there, right? So you were hunting, fishing, or drinking. Actually, you were drinking while you were hunting and fishing.
Yes.
Okay. So I got a question about you, if that's you holding that trout on your webpage, by the way.
It is. And that's down the Holston River. You know where that is.
So are you with the Holston River Fishing Company? Is that?
No,
you?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just fishing there.
Okay.
Okay. I got you. So some friends of our show
there is, and you'll appreciate this. The reason I was there is I have a brother in Mountain City, Tennessee.
Sure.
And he tells me, we don't drink it if it's brown. It's got to be white.
It's got to be clear, baby. And they're not talking about vodka. Clear.
Right.
Yeah. Corn whiskey all the way. So some friends of the show, they own the Holston River Fishing Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you still get around to fish, we ought to get over there and catch up with those guys. So you mentioned the bird dog. So I had this Boykin Spaniel. I'll keep this one short because we need to talk about the liquor more. But I had this bird dog and bought him, and we were duck hunting all the time. And, you know, the upland hunting kind of where I was not really – we did a lot of dove hunting because all the dairy farms of, you know, cutting silage and all this. You know, so we did some bird hunting. Mostly it was waterfowl. But I just got this little dog. She's nowhere to be seen. That's a good thing. That means this is going to go a lot smoother and she's not like nipping and, you know. But yeah, so I've got a new bird dog that I'm trying to get to Briar Creek Kennels over the next few weeks. It's another Boykin Spaniel.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
So it's a little brown dog. If you don't know what a Boykin is, it looks like a Brittany kind of, but it's solid liver and a little smaller. But yeah,
mine was an English setter and it was born to hunt.
Yeah.
Took him out west, took him down south to Georgia, just all over. He was born to hunt.
Well, no wonder you're a bourbon man. I mean, it's hunting and bourbon in the morning, a little hunting in the mid-morning, and then bourbon in the afternoon.
Right.
Do you get a chance to hunt much anymore?
Yeah, I duck hunt still.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I'd rather
right along the river, huh? Ohio River.
Duck hunt than work.
Yeah. Well. Nothing like a good duck blind and a heater and
we can kill a bottle telling stories, I'm telling you.
Yeah, for sure. I look forward to that. So, all right. So hold on. So let me bring us back because Dan knew where this was going as soon as you mentioned.
I did.
Shaking his head.
I think we're starting a new page, by the way, and it's called Bird Dogs and Bourbon. So I know somebody definitely stole that, and it's already out there. Megan, I hope it was you, and we can partner up on this.
Okay.
All right. So we've got our weeder. Why'd you go with the weeded bourbon?
I've always been a Weller's guy. You know, Weller's 12. I think I died and went to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's just smooth, easy drinking. And I told Megan I got a bottle of Weller's 12. And when we hit our first goal, we're going to open that up and sort of celebrate.
Nice.
Yeah. So interesting enough, and I won't mention the name, even though they're great people, but there's a company and it's a distillery, but they're sourcing right now. And I did a side by side. It'd be interesting to do a side by side with your weeded bourbon against against a Weller product, and just to see, you know, the two, and especially if you're in Ohio, because, you know, I'm assuming your product is readily available on the shelf.
Yeah, we've been, you know, once again, we're only into it for 2 months.
Yeah, right.
It's been selling out in the 10 locations we're in.
Wow.
Okay. Well, so it may be just as hard to find as Weller is, but
No, it's not. It's not. But it's moving well. And if you did
stocking really quickly, which is nice.
It is. If you did a blind taste, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Don't put the bottle next. I mean, because it's not as hot as, you know, 107 and I think there's more to it than the green label. Definitely that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, the bigger thing is, right, it's you're probably going to take something away. And we do a lot of blind tastings on the show with guests that come on, and we're not doing them to say that, oh, you know, this is a better pour than this one. And again, we do them, you know, I mean, I might send out a rum, a rye, and a bourbon. I might send out 84 proof, 120. So just all over the board. And it's really kind of about experiencing different things. And while it's about comparing, I think it's more about expanding. And if you get two good weeders beside of each other, I think that's a good way to say, well, wait a minute, what was this? Because, and again, what'd you have to eat today? What kind of mood are you in? How you feeling, right? Did you just spit chewing gum out? And it could be like, well, you know, or do you get kind of lost on which is which and be like, well, wait a minute, I think that this, you know, and because we do know what we're tasting, but we don't necessarily, you know, you don't know what's actually, you know, what the, you know, what's in a glass. You don't know what's in particular in each glass. And I think that's kind of the cool thing to see is, hey, I may not need to chase these impossible, hard to find, can't get, or you can still chase them. But in the, you know, along the journey, if you can substitute it with something that maybe is even better than what you're searching out for, you know, that could be a great way to substitute and keep you hydrated along the journey.
Absolutely. You and Dan don't have a bottle of our bourbon?
We didn't. No. Just got the...
Okay, well, I understand that Santa Claus still does stuff in March. He's not the basketball tournament, so don't be surprised if Santa visits you.
All right. Sounds
we're
good.
Never surprised, and our door is always open to Santa. So
good. Of course, I'm not allowed to send any, but, you know, Santa, he can do what he does.
That's true.
I understand that certain things happen in mysterious ways. By the way, you probably, I don't know if you went back and looked, but like the last week in December, Santa was actually on our show. he's the golfing Santa, so he does some charity things and whatnot. So,
do you do a lot of stuff in the golfing venues and stuff?
Yeah,
I would say, yeah, we have a lot of golfers on. You know, we like to get to as many courses as possible, and you know what, we really like to bring on the someone from the. Typically, we would go and play somewhere. And then we're having somebody on, and one thing that we really enjoy is, you know, the think about the golf course. You've got the kind of face of the club, which is usually the pro or the GM, and then you've got the superintendent that actually keeps everybody happy at the golf course, right? While you're the reason to be at the golf course, and we've really enjoyed having a lot of the superintendents on, you know, and to talk about kind of the, you know, the course and what it truly is, and not to say that the, you know, the pro or the GM doesn't, but it's someone that might not get a lot of attention at you know, at a golf course, or get a lot of opportunity.
Absolutely.
To come on. So yeah.
So quick golfing story. My best friend from high school. I'm from Buffalo. Grew up in the city as a city kid, and then found, you know, after I got out of the Army, found hunting and fishing and all this, and said, "Where's this been all my life?" but my good friend Joe Calabrese, he called me and he said, "Can you meet me in New York?" And we're buddies since high school. I said, "Sure." You know. He knows my wife and stuff. He said, "Sure, what do you want to do?" He says, "You get to New York, I'm going to take you to Ireland."
Oh,
so
my.
I show up in New York and go with eight guys as guest of CBS Sports to play 8 courses in Ireland.
Wow.
It cost me a plane ticket to get to New York. I made a mess of all those courses. I can assure you of that. Ballybunion, Lahinch, all that stuff. That's my golf story.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
That's a great story. And hey, and I take it you're not a golfer on a regular basis?
I'm a bogey golfer.
Okay. Oh, so you play regularly.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did all the focus groups, and quite honestly, bogeys and bourbon would have been better in terms of like our scores, but birdies and bourbon sounded better in terms of a show.
Yeah, birdies is good. Who were we talking?
Martha.
Martha. Yeah, we were talking with, we had Barney Adams on the show the other night. So I don't know if you know Barney, but you probably know who, Adams Golf, right? I mean, the guy that innovated the golf club. Yeah. Yeah, he said, he was like, they brought the B team this time, and I'm not talking about birdies. So, nevertheless. But it was a great show.
That was a good time. Yeah.
Mm. So, any recommendations on what we should be doing? You know, we're new to the business, we love it. The best part is meeting so many good, sincere people, you know, and having events and, you know, just wandering around Kentucky and, drinking and telling lies. It's about as good as it gets.
True.
I mean, it's like, just believe it, And so, as long as it's not malicious and, it stays on the tracks. I don't know. It looks like things are booming for you right now. I mean, it's, when I say booming, I mean, this is kind of an uplift, right? And, you know what I would say once again is I would say thank you for accepting the offer, and I know that I don't want to use the word hesitation, but I can understand where you would be from a standpoint of we could get on there with you, but you're in Georgia, you're in North Carolina, you're in Ohio, what's the lift?
Oh, and that's Megan with the hesitation.
No.
Politician. You give me a crowd and a microphone, I'm raring to go.
Hey, and a glass of whiskey.
Too big.
No. But the thing is, I don't think that there are probably bad avenues or bad conversations, but I think that, I think the more, again, I think this is a great way to build your build this marketing strategy of come to Ohio to get
coming
it.
Soon.
Yeah.
No, and expanding the line that you have with the Bottle of Bond, and you got the Weeded and everything else you got going on, and that's the way to go, right? Just start smaller and you grow and you keep enhancing and enhancing and enhancing. And I know Cal's going to ask you in a minute, when's the next finish coming, right, Cal?
Well, he said, I got a little smoke on that one, kind of like almost a little bacony kind of thing back there.
Mm. You know, it really changes after it sits and opens up.
Yeah.
You know, if you drink it like Frank Sinatra on a couple of ice cubes and a splash of water, totally changes.
Branch water. Yeah.
A touch of ranch water. Absolutely. he's my era. Hale doesn't even know who Frank Sinatra is.
Oh, that's true. Of course I do. Oh, of course I do. What? Hold on. He had a flask in his left pocket.
Yeah.
He had a Zippo. He had cigarettes, a flask, a Zippo. Could have been something else.
So did Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Jackie Gleason. I mean,
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think this is great. I think I love what you're doing. I love the labeling, the bottle. What's the, what does the red little string mean that goes over the top of the bottle? Can you see it? And that was not put on there. I mean, it was underneath the.
It's not the stamp, right?
Mm-mm.
No, it's no, not the stamp. But it's got there's
oh,
a piece
then,
of.
And it was in the red bag that the bottle might have been in.
Okay.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I got you.
It's okay. Not there for any reason.
Okay.
When we give out bottles, it's usually in a nice little red bag with a tie around it.
Okay. Yeah, it may just have got attached to that, but I'm like, going, huh, what's the significance of that?
It's a fuse. It's a fuse. Light it.
I'll just drink it, and then we'll work on that. So what's it?
Flashback to the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So are y'all in downtown Cincinnati?
No, we're in the suburbs.
Okay. Well, so like north, south, east, are you up by the old airport?
Just north of downtown in Worthington.
Okay.
The distillery is called Noble Cut Distillery, and I try to send the guy business. He's got a couple of good products. And he's in Gahanna. And can you imagine me using Gahanna water? How would that sell?
Yeah, so how did you come up with the fact that you were going to bring in I understand the limestone water and the reason that all the, yeah, you know, the distilleries are in Kentucky and likewise in Tennessee where they're located, you know, they sit on the shelf.
Yes.
How'd you decide that you wanted to do that? I mean, was there an experiment or was it just something you knew you were going to need to do off the bat?
It was drinking local water and comparing it with Kentucky limestone water. From the ultimate place that I bought it, he sent me bottles, and I'd have people taste it. My wife, my adult children, and stuff. And local water, you could taste a little like gray. You couldn't yeah, quite define it. And Kentucky spring water, it is Kentucky spring water.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't cost a fortune. It costs some money, but I said that's an absolute. You know, I said, you know, I'm into quality. You know, if this works out, great. If it doesn't, we've given it a good shot, but it's going to be quality all across the board.
Sure.
Very cool.
Yes. So receptivity in the market. I mean, you said it's, you know, things are just flowing off the shelf, right? Is it, was there?
Well, we have 10 locations and let's see, in probably a first couple of weeks, we only had a couple. So In a month's time, we probably sold 600 bottles, mm-hmm, you know, in 10 locations. Wow. And the state said, well, we hope you sell 200.
Nice. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
I was groveling with the state today, say, when can I get some more spots? When can I get some more locations?
Sure.
And, you know, they said, we're looking at the numbers. We're looking at the numbers.
Yeah, plenty of, do y'all have plenty of stuff bottled? I don't know if you can share that or not, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My first run was 12,000 bottles.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
we need spots.
Once again, and I think this is somewhat important, at least to me, is, you know, I sold all my real estate. So when I deal with sellers of barrels, it's not a question of getting paid. There's no bank loans. And I'm not trying to big deal it. I'm just trying to say, you know, I will buy whatever we can get.
Right.
And, you know, what's interesting, and I said this to Megan earlier, is hopefully we'll sell the 12,000 bottles in 6 months and then, you know, we move on. But just having the barrels that are going to be a year old and then 2 years old, they increase in prices. So I'm not worried about that. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's good stuff, it's going to be good stuff in a year.
Right.
If it's bad stuff, it's going to be bad stuff in a year.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're in 10 locations now. We want to be in 50 around the state before we start looking out of state, you know, so that's our marketing plan. And we're starting, we got our first tasting event, probably for 70 people, later this month. We're getting some nice reviews. I think we're getting good responses from people new to bourbon or whiskey or people that are sophisticated like yourselves. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the people that I've seen with it, you know, and or interacted with, you know, it's folks that have a broad audience. So I feel like you're getting a lot of good, organic exposure, if you will. And it, once again, that fact of, well, I can't just go get it and try it off the shelf. It makes me want to have to get to Ohio for other, I mean, there's other reasons to get up there selfishly. I mean, I already gotten a few messages from folks that have like, hey, you know, send me that again. So I know where to, you know, where and what, because.
Well,
we
got a request from the Carolina Bourbon Society, something like that.
Yeah.
He's a good guy and stuff. And luckily he had somebody driving through Ohio who could get a couple bottles, because Santa doesn't
exactly
go to Carolinas every month.
But there you go.
We want to
introduce it to a larger market, because the name, it's sort of special. The story is great. I just love the story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, people are I don't want to say they're people are starving for really good craft or boutique whiskey right now. And there's plenty of stuff out there. You know, you can kind of measure, you know, on is it what you want to drink or what you want to drink. I think, you know, if it supports a good story, and, you know, again, as you mentioned, you're engaging and meeting with good, genuine people that are, you know, trying to do the right thing. I think the transparency absolutely helps tremendously in where you are and what you're doing. A question though, so there was a merger between a couple of a distiller and a company that owns a couple of brands. Is that impacting you all, or is there anything that's happening there?
I thought it might, but I have been assured by a person I have bought these 44 barrels from that it does not. And I will probably visit the other company later this week.
Yeah.
You know, life changes. Deals are made.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You move up the operation. They don't call me. I can tell you that. They don't call me anymore.
Yeah, no, and all good. And, you know, we've spoke to some other folks that have that are probably a little more mature. The business has been running longer than what you guys have. And they've actually responded back with the same thing. And it's, you know, it's actually been the opposite of the question. And it wasn't loaded by any means, but it's been like, no, actually, we want you to buy more. That's why things happen, right? I mean, that's why people start to consume each other, or businesses start to consume other businesses,
right?
Because, you know, hey, it's getting better, not worse.
And, you know, if you think about that, where one is a great manufacturer, just a great rye producer, just great, good stuff.
Yeah.
And the other company is really strong in marketing, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of logic there.
Sure. Yeah, no reason to create your own, right?
Right, right. Although I wish I was one of the family members of the one company.
I'm sure. Don't we all? Hey, doesn't there become a time when there's too much, just too much?
Mm. Absolutely.
Or you just don't need that much. You know, it's like, what are you going to do with that?
Well, no, that's why they have golf outings, and they have college funds.
That's true.
They have churches.
That's right.
You know, and all that. That's the answer.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ed and Megan, what don't we know about Magnolia? So, Ed, let me. I guess I should have asked this up front. So, it's SN Spikes.
SN Pikes. P-I-K-E.
Excuse me. Yeah.
The web page is SN Pikes. SNPIKES.magnolia.com. Or at Meg, SN Pikes. Let me start again. I think I need some more bourbon. It's SNPikesMagnolia.com.
Okay.
Our Instagram, which I don't even know what that is, but Megan tells me it's important, is Magnolia Spirits.
Okay. And then on the shelf and going to market, it's going to be Magnolia Spirits. Kinda.
When you're looking for it on the shelf, you just look for Magnolia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, in Ohio, Ohio has a webpage, Ohio Liquor, and you just go in, you put in Magnolia, and they tell you where it is.
Okay.
I did see that, but like, well, that's a long drive.
That's why we have Santa.
Noted. So you said you got your first tasting coming up, meaning like on-premise tasting?
Well, actually, there's a place in Columbus that is cool beyond belief, and it's called the Buckeye Bourbon House, and it's downtown in an old building that I actually tried to buy a decade ago. That's another story. But it's in an old bank building. So you can picture the old bank building with two-story high columns and stuff that they made into a hotel. And the first floor is a bourbon restaurant.
Oh,
and
cool.
It is so cool. Hmm. And Megan and I have met with them. We said, this is our destination for all our tastings.
Hmm.
It's and all they have is bourbon there. They don't clutter it up with that white stuff, you know.
Yeah, sure.
What's it called? What's it called?
Buckeye Bourbon House.
Okay. All right. Cool. Huh. Very
and
cool.
we're gonna have a tasting on the 24th, and we'll send out all the invitations, and we're gonna be limited to 70, so it'll sell out in two or and actually it's free. I shouldn't say sell out. It'll be committed very quickly.
Yeah.
Free bourbon, you know, give me a break.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm in.
I just Cal's driving up now.
Actually, I've already Googled it. I've already Googled it. Now, if you're buying the liquor, I ain't going to let you fly me up there, too. Come on.
Okay. All right. All right.
I mean, that's just being greedy at this point.
Mm. That's right. That's right. Just bring your shotgun. We'll kill some ducks.
There you go. I mean, I'm all for that. I'll bring the dog, too. So, Megan, what do you do to keep this guy straight and keep everything moving in the right direction?
Yeah, well, when we started out, I offered to help him out with Instagram and marketing. You know, it's such a great way to share. And when we started, I was telling them, there's a whole group of people that are online that it's this community. And it's, you know, with you guys and so many people like you, it's amazing being able to connect in a way that, you know, especially during COVID right now and everything with the pandemic, you can't. And so he's like, oh, okay. So sign me up for whatever that is. And so, yeah, I've just been doing that to kind of share the word. And yeah, it's been amazing getting to know the Ohio community of, you know, bourbon and whiskey drinkers. So I'm just helping him out with that. And it's just nice meeting new people. And, you know, it's great seeing how excited people are. I mean, especially bourbon drinkers are so enthusiastic,
yeah.
You know, and you're not wrong when you say there is something appealing about it only being available in Ohio, that it is amazing how many people out of state are reaching out to us to find out more, because isn't that part of the appeal of drinking is getting those limited releases or those hard to find bottles, you know? So
very cool. That's,
yeah, I'm helping him out. I did have to stop in the beginning. He was starting to post, you know, 5 pictures a day when I gave him the password for Instagram and Facebook. So I had to say, okay, is that how it works? You can't post 5 times a day.
Yeah. No, seriously, you guys are so generous with your time to let us tell you our story, and we're having a lot of fun. And our fourth product will probably be something to do with the military, you know?
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
We want to give some back.
That's awesome.
That's what life's about.
Very cool.
No, you're a military guy yourself, sir, and thanks for your service.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't go fight it in 69, but I was a lieutenant, so.
Yeah. Nice. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we know where to find. We're at Spikes, NSN Hikes, Magnolia.com. I was looking at, it's Magnolia Spirits again, right?
Yes.
On Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah. So people should be checking this out. And, you know, when you're driving through Ohio, this is a must stop for sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just great spending time with you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. You too. Cal's still sipping. He's still sipping.
I mean, this is like, it's one of these things. It's like, you know, it'll lead you right into, you don't want to stop. And it sneaks up on you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.